Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Mark Lichtenwalter again with Fundamentally Mormon. We are trying to set this up so that Kim and I can both be in the thing. I don't know if they can hear you, though, with my headset, because this is a noise-canceling headset. They can watch you on YouTube, but do you want to call into the program?
Yeah,
but I just need my headset. Oh. Sure, just keep it on that side, and I'll keep it on this side. That way, maybe...
No, because I'm going to look at you a lot.
Who cares? Who cares? Nobody can even hear you right now because you're not even in the program.
Maybe I should do it that way.
Kim, seriously. My wife does come onto the program sometimes. She used to read a lot, but then she decided to get a job teaching kindergarteners.
Hey, that's enough said.
Anyway, so we're going to be continuing on with Fundamentally Mormon, as it is translated correctly, Chapter 9. Chapter 9 is Biblical Errors, and I have it all here. Are you going to call in?
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting ready?
Ready, Seth.
To call in?
Except for, is it taped on here?
Yes, because your phone and my phone are linked up. So just push the button on the side of your phone and say, call Fundamentally Mormon. Oh, wait. You should call in the guest call-in number. Just call the guest call-in number. Okay. The guest call-in number is 917. Are you ready?
It's gone now.
Oh. Okay. Well, for these people,
okay.
The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827.
Say it again.
917-889-8827. Did you let yourself in?
I'm calling right now.
I hope that's not the old radio show. Did you call in, did you, type the numbers in or just... Oh, okay.
I just typed it in.
What's it saying?
It says, please hold.
Seriously.
Oh, now I can hear myself echoing.
You can hear yourself? You're not on the radio, though. Oh, there you are. Okay. You can't be echoing. Are you echoing?
I can hear you and hear me in your mic.
Okay.
Everybody can hear me.
Can I hear you?
Yeah.
I can hear you.
But now we're...
In a loop?
Yeah.
It's not really echoing. Ugh, stupid fly. Go away, fly. Anyway, all right, let's see. Now I've got to do this, my teleprompter thing here so we can read. And I have to make sure the text is big.
Somebody wants to be in your video. It says,
so unprofessional. I am so sorry. You know what? I don't know how to be professional. Like some of these guys, they get on the radio and they're just like, they throw out these awesome podcasts with music and professionalism and stuff. My podcasts are not professional. I'm sorry. I don't know how to be professional. I suck at it, I guess, but anyway, all right, so, it's not going to stay up. Seriously? I don't usually have, you know what?
Am I the one who's going to be reading it?
How come I can't hear you anymore? Did you mute yourself? Kim, if you mute yourself, nobody can hear you.
I can hear me in your thing.
I can't hear you in my thing.
Do you want to hear?
No, I don't want your headset.
Listen.
Okay, I can hear you, but I can't hear, I can hear me in your headset, but I can't hear you.
Okay, listen. You can hear me when I'm talking on yours.
Barely.
It echoes.
Ah, she drives me nuts, people.
That's why we're married.
All right, let's see here. All right, let's just get to the reading here. Oh, I got to turn on my keyboard so I can scroll. Kim, put it back.
Okay.
Put it back.
Am I reading?
We're both reading.
Okay, I'll start.
Put it back.
And then I'll put it back after.
Hold on. I gotta put this on. You know what? I had to hurry up before 5 o'clock started. At 5 o'clock, I can't start a show after five unless I pay for the service, which my wife tells me we don't ever have enough money to do. She's smacking me under the table, people. We don't ever have enough money to pay for the live service. For some reason, I don't understand. I work, You work. We both work, right?
You wanted a vehicle, so.
No, you wanted a vehicle. I wanted to be able to get to work, so we had to buy her a vehicle that didn't break down all the time. And I took the vehicle that breaks down all the time.
Okay,
so.
It breaks down once in a while, but 3 days in a row was kind of...
Yeah, it got ridiculous. So, all right, let's just begin the reading. Are you ready to begin the reading?
Yeah, but you scrolled down even more.
I'm going to scroll down for you. So you read.
Do you want me to echo twice, and I will go ahead and unmute this?
You drive me nuts. I'll mute myself.
Okay.
I guess. Hey, try putting the microphone on this side of your face, and maybe it'll hear me better. I don't even hear you at all, or me.
I hear
or
you
anything.
Really well.
Okay.
Oh, you mean put it on the side I was going to anyway? Okay. I can hear me really well.
I love my wife. I love my wife. I love my wife. I love my wife. Oh, wait. This isn't the right phone. Oh, seriously?
That was a good idea. I'm glad we did it that way.
I don't know how to mute myself on the headset.
You can mute yourself on this. You push the parrot button.
How do you know?
Is
this the button?
Yep, that's it.
Yes, now he's muted on here, so now you can't hear him at all.
I can hear you.
And you can hear you. Say something.
I can hear you.
See?
Okay, I can hear me very well.
I can hear you through your headset really well.
All right.
Okay, in spite of new Bible versions attempting to commit correct errors and inconsistencies, they still seem to exist, some of which are humorous. A number of editions of the Bible have been published which are known by peculiar names, derived either from errors in printing or unusual translations of the words or phrases. The Bug Bible, 1551, renders Psalms 91:5, so it says, quote, so that thou shalt not need to be afraid of any buggies, really, by night. Well, it could have been like buggies, horses and buggies.
Instead of any terrors by night, which I guess some people are scared of bugs.
Buggies. It's like the ones with the horses carry buggies.
Oh,
by
God,
horse and buggies.
Scary if buggies came
into
your
yeah. Okay. Just kidding. Okay. The so-called printer's Bible has Psalms 119, verse 161, and printers have persecuted me without a cause. Instead of princes have persecuted me without a cause. One printing of Geneva Bible, 1560, known as the Breaches Bible, renders Genesis 3:7, quote, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves breeches. Yeah. Well, it says breeches, but yeah, breeches. Right, same thing. Yeah. Yep. Instead of, and made themselves aprons, which is what it says. The Bishop's Bible, which was published in 1568, contains a translation of Jeremiah 8:22, which has caused it to be known as the treacle Bible. Is there no treacle in Gilead? Instead of, is there no balm in Gilead? The King James Version Sorry, I was looking at the page number. We're now on page 109. The King James Version of the Bible, 1604 to 1611, appeared in two different printings, which are called the He and She editions of the King James translation, because they differed in the rendering of the last pronoun in Ruth 3:15. One edition reads, and he went into the city, while the other reads, and she went on into the city. One printing of the Douay Bible, 1609 to 1610, known as the Rosin Bible, renders Jeremiah 8:22. Is there no rosin in Gilead, the wicked Bible? Okay.
1631. The seventh commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, appears as, thou shalt commit adultery. They messed up. They didn't put
it. You think they messed up, or really that was what the commandment was? Yeah, no. Thou shalt commit adultery. Okay.
In
a Bible published in 1653, 1 Corinthians 6:9 reads, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God?" That's a good one. That's, you know, no. The so-called Vinegar Bible, this is a good one, which was published in 1717, has the confusing title, Parable of the Vinegar. Printed over the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, instead of the usual heading, Parable of the Vineyard. The Rebecca Campbell's Bible.
1823.
Genesis 24:61 read, and Rebecca arose and her camels instead of and her damsels. American People's Encyclopedia 3:118. These may or may not be considered errors in the Bible. However, many of the critics of the Book of Mormon point out similar errors in it, and thus conclude that it could not be of God. By the same ill logic, they should criticize and condemn the Bible. A very common error has been obvious in the use of God's biblical names. Dr. Davidson, in his Introduction to the Old Testament, 1:108-112, gives a list. It's funny because I can hear you talk, then I can hear you talk. I can hear me talk and hear me talk again. And so it keeps going and going. So it's hard to listen. That's okay. We'll just hear each other twice. Anyways,
I think I can fix it. And then it just
stops working
for me.
Okay. Is that better? Yep, it is actually. Okay. Now I can't hear you talk twice.
Okay.
Or me for that matter.
Okay.
Actually, no, I can't hear me talk at all.
Now the flipping tablet decides to reset. For no reason.
Okay.
This is why I keep telling you I need a new
But the, I should be able to hear me, though, because I'm on this radio show on audio, and I'm unmuted, and I can't hear. Oh, I can on here, on here. I can on here, but I can't hear you. So, I don't know if I should, though. You should be able to hear you on that headset.
That's why we're supposed to have two headsets. That's what I was saying before. But you.
Well, I don't know if I can hear you on yours, because...
Sorry, Facebook. I'm sorry. We have no control over our tablet. It decides to reset for no reason at all, for any reason. I can be fully charged. It just resets for no reason at all. And I can't afford to buy a new one. I can't even afford to pay for the full radio show. So
okay. Anyway, so...
YouTube working.
That's right. In Introduction to Old Testament, Volume 2, page 108 and 112 gives a list taken from the first 11 chapters of Chronicles showing 114 names which differ from corresponding names in other parts of Scripture. These variations he attributes to the errors of translators. An excellent example of the errors in transcribing and translating names was explained by John W. Hale in his book Alleged Discrepancies of the Bible. Number one, concerning persons' names, etc., we have elsewhere called attention to the close resemblance of a considerable number of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet and to the consequent liability of confounding them with each other. These simple facts furnish a reasonable explanation of many discrepancies, which, with reference to names, the following examples will... I need to just scroll faster is what I'm trying to say. I know you're probably reading it too, but I'm like down here. That's okay. The following examples will illustrate the point. In Samuel chapter 2, volume 23:27, we find the name Mebunai. Mebunai. Mebunnai. In 1 Chronicles 11:29, the name Sibekiah, or Sibbecai, both referring to the same person. Now compare these names in the Hebrew. And... it just has a line and a line. I don't know what that means. Yeah. There is not the least doubt that the variation or discrepancy arose through a copyist's blunder. So, Temdan, Genesis 36, 26, it's in Roman numerals, yeah. Verse 26, and Amram, 1 Chronicles 1, 41, stand in the Hebrew thus, and then it says blank and blank. Also, that be Josh, volume 7, 1, or I'm sorry, chapter 7, verse 1. Why is it in? And Zimri, 1 Chronicles 2, 6, maybe, are written thus. And again, not written, it just says blank and then blank. No reasonable man can look at these cases like these, which may be multiplied to an indefinite extent, and wonder that we find variations among the proper names occurring in the Bible, page 312. Many names, yes, but he doesn't give the reference. A little.
We still lost, yeah. Anyway.
Many names in the Old Testament are, for some strange reason, written differently in the New Testament. Most of these errors are made by misreading a word or letters such as Old Testament, New Testament, Isaiah, Isaiah.
Isaiah in the Old Testament is Ezekiel in the Old Testament is Ezekiel in the New Testament. Uriah in the Old Testament is Urias in the New Testament. Boaz in the Old Testament is Booz in the New Testament. Hosea in the Old Testament is Oziah or Ozi in the New Testament. Asher is Asher. Elijah is
Elias.
Elias.
Don't get any ideas.
If we have any kids.
Elijah.
Kids.
Elias.
Elijah. Elias. You know, Old Testament. Noah and Noe. Noe. N-O-E. That's Noah in the New Testament. Hagar is Agar in the New Testament. Hezekiah is Ezekias in the New Testament. We're on page 111 of Exodus, translated correctly. Jehoshaphat is Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat.
Yep.
Oh, Jehoshaphat. That's not too. Anyway, and Jesus. Rehoboam. Joshua. I'm just throwing that in there. Anyway, Rehoboam is Rehoboam in the New Testament. Korah is Kor in the New Testament. Joshua is Jesus in the New Testament. And it should be. Actually, even the Old Testament names are like anglicized. Like, Joshua is Yehoshua or Yeshua, not Jesus. But anyway, Jesus in the New Testament. Go ahead.
It's interesting to compare the many different versions of a particular Bible passage. For example, Revelations, a biblical passage. For example, Revelations 14, 6 through 7, King James, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. The New English, then I know it just says New English. There's actually no punctuation, which is why I continue reading the way I do. Yeah. Then I saw an angel flying in mid-heaven with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people.
Now, remember this particular revelation is about the last days, and it was fulfilled when an angel flew in the midst of heaven with the everlasting gospel and delivered it to Joseph Smith, and that angel's name we now know is Moroni. So that in Revelation, so this angel is supposed to fly from the midst of heaven having the everlasting gospel. You want to speak for yourself?
That would be amazing. Yeah. So good idea. Okay.
I'm just going to commentate here. That's right. She reads, I commentate, whatever. But, you know, in Revelation chapter 22, I think, is what we're reading with the different versions, the different translations. An angel did fly from the midst of heaven in the last days with the everlasting gospel and delivered it to Joseph. His name was Moroni. Although Lucy Maxmeth said it was Nephi that came to him, not Moroni, and that was changed later on. So it could have been Moroni, it could have been Nephi, we don't know. And I don't care. It's not relevant to our salvation. It's just interesting. Anyway, go ahead.
This, the Standard Revised Version. Then I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. number one, Die Felt Bible. Is that supposed to be number one? Or okay. Then I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven holding the everlasting gospel to proclaim the new inhabitants, or the inhabitants, of the earth to every nation and tribe and language and people. The Moffat translation. Then I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven with an eternal gospel for the inhabitants of the earth, for every nation and tribe and tongue and people. The New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures by Jehovah's Witnesses. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, and he had everlasting good news to declare as glad tidings to those who dwell on the earth and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. The Knox Catholic Bible, I saw too, another angel flying in mid-heaven carrying with him a final gospel to preach to all those who dwell on the earth, to every race and tribe and language and people. The Douay version, D-O-U-A-Y, of the Catholic Bible by Arenzen. And I saw another angel flying through the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that sit upon the earth and over every nation and tribe and tongue and people. The Complete Bible, an American translation by J.M.P. Smith et al. Then I saw another angel flying in midair with eternal good news to announce to the inhabitants of the earth, to every nation, tribe, and language and people.
That's part of the restoration of the gospel on the earth, and of the apostasy of the Christian church, which started with the Catholics and the hijacking of the Christian church by Constantine. So,
the Roman Catholic edition of the Revised Standard Version, 1965. Then I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation, tribe, and tongue, and people. In Romans 10, 8 through 10 of the King James Version, we read, "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus," the Lord Jesus. Yeah, because I just want to make sure I added that. Yeah. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And Romans 10, 8 through 10, however, from the Living Bible version. Oh, sorry, that was the last one.
End quote, Romans 7.
With no quote.
Oh, there's a Living Bible version.
Mm-hmm. The same verse reads much differently. And this is how it reads. God's message of salvation is near you, on your lip, and in your heart. Not in good works, dietary laws, baptism, church membership, and temple rituals.
Which it doesn't say any of that stuff at all. They just add stuff. You know, they don't care.
Let me finish the quote, though.
Oh,
That is the message of faith that we preach. If you declare with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For we believe in our hearts and are put right with God. We declare with our lips and are saved. There are scriptures in the Bible that apparently were incorrectly quoted by original writers. For instance, Matthew said, "Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value." Matthew 27:9. Yeah, can you hear me?
Jeremy is Yirmiyahu in Hebrew. Like, they don't even try to, like, Jeremiah. Like, why does it have to be Jeremy? Why can't you just stick with this name? Why is that so hard? Dead Christians who translated a bunch of junk. No, I don't. His name is Yirmiyahu, not Jeremy. And whatever. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Matthew said this was spoken by Jeremiah, but it is a quotation from the book of the prophet Zechariah. Is it supposed to be Zech 11, 12?
Zechariah or Zechariah?
Yeah, it's Z-E-C-H-A-R-I-H. Yes.
Zechariah.
Sorry. 11, 12. Other misquoted scriptures are original quote. That's what it said. Are, and this is original quote. Misquote. "Behold, I will send my messenger. Behold, I send my messenger before
and he shall prepare the way, thy face which shall prepare before me. That's Malachi 3, verse 1. Thy way before thee, 2, and then sacrifice and offering thou didst. Wherefore, when he cometh unto not desire mine ears, hast thou the world. He saith, sacrifice and open.
When it's in quick form, it actually puts it in columns, but we don't have this one in print form, so it's going to be confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we should just skip this part, because it's hard to tell one thing to the other, but I don't want to.
Well, do you want to skip? Do you want me to keep going? Or?
Well, you can do whatever you want, but I'm just saying, when it's in print form. So what they did is they put everything onto their website so people could read it without having to have the book.
How far do you want me to go?
Like, we don't know which one is which there.
I don't know if I can hear everything that you're saying through my mic, if I was, like, leaning closer into you.
Nobody listens to the radio show anyway.
Okay.
I don't have a real radio show. I can't. If I don't have the, if I do the free service, I can't make it to the podcast. And that's where most people listen. So most people watch through the YouTube and the Facebook videos. But since I can't afford to do the full service, I can't make this into a podcast on iTunes. At least I don't know how. I'm like so technologically illiterate. I mean, it's just sad, actually.
So how far down do you want me to go in this?
Just read.
Okay, I'll just start reading.
Just try to figure it out, I guess.
It's kind of confusing the way that it's listed, but we'll just try.
Yeah, because, like, in the book, you've got, like, stuff on this side and then the corrected stuff on this side. But in this, it, like, throws it all together in a way that is very confusing.
Yeah, it's like one after the other after the other. Okay, so I guess I'll just start here. Peniel, P-E-N-I-E-L. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Genesis 32:30, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, Exodus 33:11, and Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die, because we have seen God,
Jehovah.
Yeah, which is
Judges
13:22. In the year that the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, Isaiah 6:1. A spirit body or a body, a spirit hath not flesh and bones. Tables of stone written with the Luke 24:39 finger of God. Exodus 31:18. This is why it's so messed up. God is a spirit, John 4:24. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he rested with him, in quotation,
with God.
Yeah. Genesis 32:25.
Oh, Jacob was resurrected. Which really confuses people, because then there's the other scripture that says God is spirit and we must worship him in spirit. Well, the Ruach HaKodesh at that time was a spirit. So, yes, God is a spirit. But God also has a body of flesh and bone. Like Jesus, Israel me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. They seem to contradict each other when you're a monotheist, but they don't when you accept that Jesus and Jehovah are two separate individuals.
Tangent. Like man or not, and God said, let us make man, and to whom then will ye liken me or our image after our likeness? Shall I be equal, saith the Holy, Genesis 1:26, 1 Israel 40:25. This is just the way that it's written out on here. One God or more, I am the Lord, and there is none. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. That's just really messed up.
Really?
I'm going to keep going because that was just getting worse.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I wish we had the book. It's in volume one. So these green books over here to the side, if you're watching the video, those are volumes 2 through 6. 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 2 through 6. Of Enzyme to the Nations. We don't have volume 1 and we don't have volume 7. So, we can't read it in the book form because we don't have it. So they were out of print, basically.
going through all these quotes. Still doing it. Sorry. Trying to do it quicker. That's why I'm not using that.
Yeah, because there are so many discrepancies, and I would really like to get into.
What am I looking for?
But it's so confusing with this format that they basically just copied and pasted the stuff into.
Still doing it. How long is this?
It's forever.
Yeah.
Basically, it's just there's a whole bunch of stuff that seems to contradict in the scriptures. Did you already get the...
Yeah, now it's even worse because it's...
You didn't... I guess we're out of the live streaming, and I should have heard that if I had my headset on.
Oh, yeah.
I would have said you have 90 seconds, 60 seconds, 60 seconds. But we're already out of the live streaming. But nobody's on the phone anyway, so...
Okay. So there's a book, Discrepancies of the Bible, John Haley, page 2, that it talks about. Anyways, afterwards it comes in and it says, therefore, when young Joseph Smith confessed that the Bible was the word of God as far as it was translated correctly, he was in agreement with the best biblical scholars, but disagreed with the priestcraft sectarians. If these ministers of modern Christendom couldn't see any errors in the Bible, but this young man could, it was obvious he was worth listening to. Veracity of the Bible, anti-Mormons versus Mormons, it is important that we should also consider and respond to some statements by anti-Mormons regarding the Latter-day Saint belief in the Bible. For example, for 150 years, Mormonism has butchered the Bible, declaring it inadequate, reflecting on its translators and transcribers, accusing the priests of corrupting it. Its missionaries, multiplied thousands strong, have traveled the width and breadth of the land, belittling the Bible, attempting to persuade their hearers that it is totally inadequate and unworthy of their trust. Mormonism has never been a friend of the Bible. Its proponents...
It's really sad because it doesn't quote the Bible, not correct.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've gone into our modern church, they've gotten further away from using the Bible. They, like, cherry-pick the crap out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the church has decided to go to, like, having Sunday school every other week, it's just going to get worse, which we actually... makes us sick, to tell you the truth. But you know what? They do what they want to do. We're going to keep on reading scripture. So
shouldn't this tell you whether or not you're out of the live stream or something?
We are.
Oh, okay. Its proponents often...
33 minutes video started.
Okay, so it'll go for like another 15 minutes.
Well, the overdrive for the radio show will go for another 15 minutes. So when that timer gets down to about 42 minutes, wrap it up.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, just
you
like next week. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
I like three, too.
Yeah, but if you... Okay, I put that where it needs to be so you don't go back to the top. Okay, its proponents often sound like the writings of Thomas Paine and Robert Ingersoll, the Utah Evangelical, December 1983, and page 6. Yep. I'm also still having issues with quoting, but at least it's a little bit more legible. How ridiculous and absolutely false are these Mormon beliefs in the Bible? The
as
mission...
far as it is translated correctly, but they mm-hmm. still carry it from it.
Which is kind of ludicrous because also as many times as they've changed the Book of Mormon, and they're going to, it's like the pot calling the kettle back.
That. Yeah. There's been changes
bad...
in the Book of Mormon. There's been changes in the Doctrine and Covenants. They've changed words. They've taken whole sections out of the Doctrine and Covenants and added other sections. Like, for instance, in the Brighamite Church,
mm-hmm.
they took out the whole section dealing with monogamy and marriage. Because it contradicts section 132, so let's get rid of it, right? Which, whatever, I'm not going to get into it. I'm just saying that the Mormons are no better than the Catholics were and these other Protestants. I blame the Catholics mostly for the great, huge errors in the scriptures. Anyway, going.
Okay. The missionaries carry the Bible with them, along with the Book of Mormon and other scriptures, and use it to defend and support their doctrines in their church. They even point out the Bible prophecies that foretell the restoration of the gospel in this dispensation. A few of these passages are quoted and explained below. Number one, Joseph... fruitful bow, Joseph, is a fruitful bow.
Genesis chapter 49. Can I read it?
Sure. Do you want this one so that they can hear you?
Joseph is a fruitful bow, even a fruitful bow by a well. That is the ocean.
Uh-huh.
Whose branches run up over the wall, so his branches are his children. Blessings of the Father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, Jacob's progenitors, unto the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills. So this is basically telling Joseph's children where they're going to go. The everlasting hills is a geological indicator of where they will end up in the last days. And the everlasting hills start in South America, and they go all the way up the west coast of North and South America, all the way up into Alaska, and those are the everlasting hills that Jacob prophesied that the tribe of Joseph would inherit. Anyway, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren, Genesis chapter 49, verse 22 and 26. So when it talks about the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills, it's talking about North America, which is where a lot of Manasseh ended up, and also Ephraim as well. And we are Ephraim. I am Manasseh as well. Our genealogies go through that. But anyway, but that's the North America is that geological indicator of where they would end up. So go ahead, we're on page 183.
Orson Pratt explains these verses. From this prediction, it will be perceived that Jacob prevailed with God and obtained a greater blessing in behalf of the tribe of Joseph than what Abraham and Isaac, his progenitors, had obtained. While the blessings of Jacob's progenitors was limited to the land of the Palestine, Joseph had confirmed upon him a blessing or country above or far greater than Palestine, a country at a distance represented by the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills. Some of the branches of the fruitful bow of Joseph, were to spread far abroad from the parent tree. They were to run over the wall of the mighty ocean. They were to become a multitude of nations in the midst of the earth. There among the everlasting hills, they were to be made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. The Book of Mormon testifies that America is the land of Joseph, given to them by promise. According to the Book of Mormon, all of the great western continent, with all the valleys, hills, and mountains, riches, and resources pertaining thereunto, was given to the remnant of Joseph as their land of promise. Orson Pratt's works, pages 20 and 21. Number 2, the sticks of Judah and Joseph. Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it, for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another unto one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand.
So,
Ezekiel 37:16-17.
When Amos says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, that every word should be established, the stick or record of Joseph and the stick or record of Judah would come together and testify of Jehovah and of his Messiah, Yeshua, who the Gentiles called Jesus. So this is like a law in heaven that there has to be two witnesses. We get the Bible from the Jews, or Judah. We get the Book of Mormon from Ephraim, or Joseph. You know, this is the stick of Joseph, or the record of Joseph, and the record of Judah, as spoken of and prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 37 and Isaiah chapter 29 and other places. So go ahead, Kim.
Continuing with Orson Pratt's explanation, Ezekiel was commanded to write upon two sticks, one for Judah and the other for Joseph, after which he was commanded to join them together into one. And when the children of Israel should make inquiry what these two united writings of Judah and Joseph meant, he was to say unto them that the Lord would join the writings of Joseph with those of Judah, immediately after which he would take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they were gone, and would gather them on every side and bring them into their own land, and that he would make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and that one king should be king to them all, and that they should no more be two nations or kingdoms. Ezekiel testifies that the writings of Joseph should be joined with the writings of Judah. Mr. Smith presents this generation with a book consisting of several hundred pages professing to be the sacred writings of the inspired prophets of the tribe of Joseph, who anciently inhabited the great Western Hemisphere. Ezekiel testifies that Israel should be gathered, never again to be scattered. Immediately after the union of these two records, the professed record of Joseph, brought to light by Mr. Smith, testifies in the most positive language that this is the age in which Israel shall be gathered through the instrumentality of the word and power of God contained in the two records. Ezekiel uttered the prediction. Mr. Smith presents a professed fulfillment. Orson Pratt's Works, pages 11 and 12.
So, when, you know, the whole world knows about Israel, or, you know, which should be called Judea, not Israel, the southern kingdom. Israel is actually the name of the tribe of Joseph in the northern kingdom. But anyway, the whole world knows about Judah and Israel, but they don't realize that the prophecy says that these two nations would come together. America is the land of Joseph. This is why we stand with Israel, and this is why we defend them and we support them. And a lot of Christians don't realize this, but it is the truth. So anyway, continuing.
Number three. Record to come out of the ground, and thou shalt be brought down, and shalt speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Isaiah 29, verse 4. Orson Pratt again elaborates, Mr. Smith testifies that the plates from which that book was translated were taken out of the ground from where they were originally deposited by the prophet Moroni, that the box containing them was composed of stone, so constructed as to exclude in a great degree the moisture of the soil, which is truthful because it was found in northern, the eastern part of this continent, which